Hey everybody, it's Keith here, and thank you for listening to this episode of CougarCast. Before we get in to the football game, just got home from the Marriott Center, BYU victorious over the Princeton Tigers. Excellently played game by BYU. Really, some fantastic things we're seeing there. Obviously, Eric Mika, career night in points and in rebounds, two rebounds away from the 2020. I'd love to see him get one of those in his career. He was very, very close tonight. But Caesar, back from Italy, on the team now, and looks very poised to have a very big season. So hopefully physically holds up. He looked pretty tired at the end of the game. I can't blame him. He had a great game. You know, the big thing in that game was that BYU went to the free throw line 41 times, and they hit their free throws. And I just think, we're not going to go to the line that much all the time, but when you are the physically dominant team, when you're more gifted athletically than your opponents, and that was the case against Princeton, the Cougars were able to take advantage of that and find themselves at the free throw lines. They did a great job rebounding. And, you know, with different matchups come different challenges. But against a team that was overmatched in terms of size, it appears we now have a couple of presence underneath the hoop that can really affect the game in a major way in Eric Mika. And even I was impressed with Yoli Childs, some excellent minutes from Yoli. So listen, we want to talk more about basketball. We want to have good basketball coverage for you this season. I am going to be out of town, so we won't be able to get another basketball podcast up for you. In fact, I'm going to be like Wyclef Jean just a month later. I'm going to be gone till December. So anyway, hopefully you can bear with us. We're going to miss a few games here, but we'll get right back into it. And then when December rolls around, when I'm back in town, Tosh and I, we will bring you BYU basketball here on CougarCast, and I'm very excited about that. But for now, let's take a minute and it's funny I chose that word because we're talking about the Minutemen from UMass. So enjoy this episode of CougarCast, and I'll be back in December.
Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com. And follow on Twitter at CougarCast.
Greetings, my name is Keith Schertz, and I'm with the 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year, Tosh McIntosh. Tosh, there are people denying the validity of your name. They think it's fake. Were your parents that awesome, or have you gone to a courthouse to manipulate this thing?
Well, yeah, it's my real name is Toshua McIntosh, but other than that, it's all real. No, that's it's not Tosh. It's not Tosh. That part is a lie.
You just played with me a little.
No, it's yeah. My name is Tosh Scott McIntosh. They gave me Scott as a middle name in case I hated being Tosh McIntosh, but I'm all in. Like, now I want the crazy names for my kids, and my wife fights back. So
yeah.
It's a strange name, granted, but it's the real one.
There it is. Tosh, UMass coming to town. The Minutemen. And that may be about as long as this game is interesting. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, it's not. We could end the show. UMass, I mean, it's fun to watch BYU football. I wouldn't care if they were playing Timpview High School or I would still be intrigued, but at the same time, it's much more intriguing when we are playing a team that I think has a chance to make it a good game. And for the second week in a row, we are playing a foe that I think has no way in heck of making it a good game.
What does it prove? Well, it proves that we can beat a team that we're better than. So that's good.
But the reason that there is some intrigue, there's still always some storylines and fun that comes out of it. Like from last game, The fun storylines for me was it was nice, although against a weak competition, to see Tanner back on the field.
Sure.
I think KJ Hall, and I thought he ran feisty and
hey, we didn't even mention his name. We got talking about who's going to run the football. We didn't even mention his name. Welcome, KJ Hall.
I actually think that guy could do some damage and be a player for us for the next few years.
Sure.
El Bakri had he was
Braden El Bakri.
I think he might have been the offensive player in the game if I had to choose. And so there were some storylines, but
yeah,
it was not the same as watching a game that I'm like what I brought up to you earlier. I don't like the games, and there's usually only one or two of them a year where I start feeling bad for I hate watching football and feeling bad for the team, for the opponent of my team. And that happened at SUU, and I'm slightly worried that's going to happen again with UMass.
Yeah, there is a chance that that'll happen again. With our visitors from Amherst, Massachusetts, and, you know, it'll be fascinating, I suppose, to see, you know, the different names that maybe can emerge. And basically we're looking at, what, position battles for 2017, aren't we? Like, there's a KJ Hall can play himself into a role on that 2017 football team.
Totally.
Braden El Bakri is going to be our starting fullback. That would have happened just naturally, but he's actually not only is our backup fullback, he's having a better year than the starting fullback this year, Tosh.
Totally. He's playing
numbers
great.
Wise at least.
He's playing great, and he played hard, and he blocks well, but we saw he can catch well out of the backfield, and that he can do some tough running downfield.
And we've seen him punch it in from the one. So there's that too.
I like that our coaching staff seems to be treating these games as prep/tryouts for next year.
Yeah.
That you even saw that one big storyline that I think no one's talking about is that Michael Davis has been really demoted from the starter to now that he's an or with Lake.
Yeah, so it could be Dion Lake or Michael Davis.
And
which is crazy, because we love Mike Davis on this show. We've always liked Michael Davis.
For 3 years, I've said that he's our best cover corner.
Right, and he has been.
What I think his weakness is, and what I've heard that this has just been showing up and getting brought up more and more, is that he has a tendency to not like to tackle.
Uh-oh, that's a problem. And if you play defense,
and they call this tackle football in some circles. Yes. Usually just football, but if they're being specific, they'll call it tackle football.
He does more on the boundary over there. He looks more like like a sheepdog, you know?
Or he shepherds them out of bounds.
Just kind
of,
yeah, you kind of slowly move the that'll do pig, you know?
And the guy, the guy has all, I think, the physical talents to he has NFL aspirations, and I think from a speed situation, from his measurables, but his tackling has been lacking, and we have very promising freshman cornerbacks.
By the way, and from a cover technique standpoint,
yeah,
like he's in the right spots and all that stuff. The actual act of I've got to shed a blocker, I've got to wrap this guy up, and I've got to drag him to the earth.
He's not great at tackling.
Okay,
and tackling hurts, and some guys are more meant for it than others. But we've got a great young freshman core that have been picked on it sometimes this year. But they are extremely talented, and I actually like and respect that our coaching staff is wanting to give those guys more time for the future. I think it's smart, especially in a season where we already know our bowl game. Let's play, of course, to win games, but let's also keep in mind what's going to be best for the program going forward.
And you can do that without sacrificing, you know, a win in the win column. Like, the only thing that matters in terms of margin for victory right now for us is if you're betting in Vegas.
Yes, on
like,
that note,
does it matter? What I'm saying is does it matter at this point? Like, let's say we play Massachusetts and Mississippi State, you know, if you want to do some transitive stuff, Mississippi State had a hard time with UMass in UMass. We had a hard time with Mississippi State here, okay? Is there a chance that there could be some difficulty with Massachusetts in Provo?
No. I think we roll, and you bring up the...
But if then, let's say that it is a little tougher, but it's only a 14-point game. But they play Dion Lake and they play Troy Warner And they've basically got sophomores and freshmen in there to get them ready for the next season.
I'm fine with that. Yeah, a win's a win.
So what does it matter at this point to win by any sort of distance? So the only thing that matters at this point, if you want to win by a lot, is if you're betting on BYU.
And if you're betting, so the Vegas line right now is BYU by 30.
30!
And so if BYU is going to try to outperform their line for their betting fan base.
That sounds familiar. When did we win by 30 last, Tosh?
Well, we beat SUU by exactly 30. So that Vegas thinks that this is going to be a very similar Saturday to last Saturday.
A lot of people showed up, though, Tosh.
That was exciting. I have said time and time again, I am proud of our fan base. In that we have a big fan base. We have a fan base that is loyal. And it was a fun environment considering the circumstances. And I expect it to be again this time. I think that the children's crowd comes out when you have a middle of the day start time. And we had that last week, and we have that again, where about 40% of the crowd is under the age of 9.
Mm.
But, I mean, I think that's good for I actually think that's good for the team long term, too.
Yeah. So, you know, Tosh, we like to look at CBS Sports. They do their thing about NFL draft prospects. Every team has had multiple guys at least listed as an undrafted free agent. Massachusetts only has one person that's on their radar. Only one. Elijah Wilkinson. He's an offensive tackle, 6'5", 328. Big guy, big tough guy, big senior over there. But, Tosh, one guy.
That's the least of any team we've played this whole year.
Yeah, Southern Utah had four.
Yeah.
UMass, man, there's a talent deficit that they're playing with. According to Advanced Analytics, there's by F+ on Football Outsiders, UMass is at 111 in the country. So only two Power 5 teams considered worse than UMass. Purdue and, you want to take a guess, Tosh? It's the standard. What's the worst Power 5 team in football?
Vanderbilt.
Ooh. No, Vandy's not bad this year. They got a nice D.
Kansas.
Very good. Congrats. But anyway, yes, yeah, so poor Vanderbilt. They get beat up on. They're over in the SEC, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean,
poor Vanderbilt.
There's some bad P5s, for sure.
I just feel bad,
but
you know.
UMass is a bad not P5.
That's right. So okay, anyway. So there it is. But they are in front of Purdue and in front of Kansas. So there's that. All right. And now it's time for 10 for Tosh. Tosh, 10 questions for Tosh McIntosh. These are not opinion, they are fact. Question number one, how many rushing attempts will KJ Hall have this game?
I think that he gets 14 rushing attempts. So that the guy, I think, won over a lot of fans, and I think gave some confidence to the coaches, and we got another similar game. I think they even give him they will give him rushing attempts even earlier in the game than they did last game.
You know, KJ Hall, one of the things that I liked about him, Tosh, was he ran with menace. He got the football and he wanted to go and take it somewhere. Really run hard.
For a little guy, he actually had decent yards after, you know, getting touched and broke some tackles.
There was just intent in there that you don't always see.
Totally.
And I appreciated that. By the way, do you know what KJ stands for, Tosh?
No idea.
What do you think it stands for?
Kevin Jackson.
Kangaroo Jack? Question number two. We don't know. Question two. Who has more? Probably Kalen, since he's the son of Kalen Hall.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Kalen Junior. Joseph.
Junior.
Kalen Junior Hall?
That's my guess.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm on record with that statement.
All right. Question two. Who has more rushing yards in this game against UMass for the Brigham Young University Cougars? Taysom Hill or Tanner Mangum?
So Tanner Mangum's the defending rushing champion in the quarterback standpoint. Tanner looked fast. Like, we all knew he could throw, but I was impressed by, I mean, you give that guy a year to work out and get back in shape, and I think he's feeling fresh. He hasn't played this year, and so he was fast. I think,
and beyond that, sprinting down the field, that's one thing. But he also looked like he could move in the pocket, that he could kind of evade and make some moves to buy some time back there.
Tanner will have more rushing yards this game than Taysom. I think that he's going to get...
Two in a row.
He's going to get more snaps, too. So I think that he plays a lot this game.
Question number three. Who will be the starting running back next year, Tosh? Three candidates. Squally Canada. KJ Hall. Or the write-in ballot, right? Riley Burt.
People have forgot about Burt, and that's... What I will say first, I don't know if it even really matters who's going to be the starter. I think Burt is going to be the most yards back that we have.
Okay.
I think it's going to be by committee. I bet Squally Canada will be the starter opening game next year, but I think Burt is going to be our premier back next season.
KJ?
KJ will get snaps, but I think his problem, that's his strength and his weakness, is his size. I think that Burt is our fastest running back, and he's our biggest. And so that's why I think he's going to be the man next year.
You know, one of the things that we've gave Robert and I all the trouble in the world about is that they never threw any screens. But do we throw screens?
Not very many. I watch other football games, and I think, like, teams that will screen the crap out of the Utes, and I'm just like, why do we never run screens?
Yeah, screens seem like they might work against a lot of teams, especially with a guy like KJ Hall. Seemed like he could catch the football and really go. Question number four. And Al Bakri. You don't want to forget Al Bakri in the passing game.
Give that guy a screen.
Yeah, and speaking of him, question number four. Who will finish the year with more receiving yards? Tosh, Braden, Al Bakri, or Algernon Brown? Right now, Al Bakri has a 19-yard lead.
Who would have guessed that would even be a question? Algie Brown has been known as a great back and the best hands out of any of our backs for the last several years.
Yeah. Some people said that he had better hands than Manase Tonga and also better than... I've even heard people try to make the argument that his hands are better than Harvey Unga.
And I would use a hyperbole like that, that Algie might have the best hands out of any running back he's ever coached. Al Bakri is doing great, and he's... current trends will continue. Al Bakri, who has the craziest first last name combo in BYU history, of a mismatch of first name and last name.
I think you might be right.
He will finish this season as the receiving leader between those two.
Question number five, who will lead the team in scoring this year? Tosh, who leads BYU in scoring this year? Listeners, say it out loud.
Everyone right now is collectively saying Jamal.
Red Almond. Red Almond leads the team in scoring. He's scored 65 of BYU's 281 points. Jamal has scored 60 of them. So between that that legendary Jamal Williams-Red Almond combo, about half of the points have been scored this year. I guess there's a third option, Tosh. The third option would be Taysom. He's got 42 points on the year.
He'd have quite the ground to cover.
Who is going to lead the team in scoring when the year is over? Red Almond, Jamal, and if you feel like a wild card, you can take Taysom Hill.
So it's not going to be Taysom. Jamal, I actually think the coaching staff is really thinking of Jamal's future and that they want to get him healthy to end the season for the NFL type stuff.
So just a bowl game. You think we're only going to see him at the bowl game?
I think Utah State in the bowl game. I think if – I'm not sure he plays this week, and if he does, I think it's limited. He was in a walking boot on Saturday. And so Rhett Almond will lead the team in scoring this year. Oh. Almond Milk himself.
Rhett, you bet. That's right. Okay, question number six. Over, under, Tosh, will the BYU defense force 2.5 turnovers?
Over. I mean, we're one of the best in the nation for a reason. And I think SUU kind of, we let them off the hook in that regard. We had the one pick. We forced some fumbles that we did not recover. This week, I will be on record that BYU will get 4 turnovers against the Minutemen.
That's a pretty nice day. Now, question number 7. UMass, Tosh, as we all know, they're independent. BYU, of course, is independent. And I'm assuming that UMass is doing that because they want more exposure. Is that why?
Who knows?
Is that why they're
in? I have no... What is their reasoning? They're not getting some ESPN deal.
It's the largest public institution, I believe, in America. I think there's more students at UMass than any other school. I think it has the biggest student base of any school in America. Seems like they could be in a conference, Tosh. Why are they independent?
I don't know.
Exposure. Let's say it's exposure. Does that sound good to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's got it to get their message out there is probably. We're not sure what their message is, so they need more exposure, and they know it.
Okay, so clash of two independent programs. Do you think that these teams will be more or less hyped because they are both independent?
More, for sure. I mean, there's that random, like, independent player award that who knows who votes on it each week. Like, and the UMass players have been frustrated all year to see it. BYU players getting a lot of those awards. And they're thinking, hey, we're from one of the biggest schools in the nation. We're an independent. And they are going to come out with a giant chip on their shoulder because, yeah, two independents collide. I was surprised game day is not coming because of this independent. It's the best independent team we'll play all year.
Absolutely. And you know what? You're right. They're getting themselves up into a lather. Their ire is getting up. Every time that they see that another BYU guys won the independent player of the week. Yeah, the punters over there, just they hate Johnny Linehan so much.
Yeah, I mean, it's how... Why is this guy from New Zealand getting all the credit?
He doesn't even...
We're independent, too.
They call him Johnny Rugby there.
Yeah, they are just ticked.
Okay, question number 8. Tosh, who would win a game between Southern Utah and the University of Massachusetts?
I am not kidding at all when I say this. I would put my money
neutral site.
I put Cowboy my money Stadium. On SUU.
You think we could fill up Cowboy Stadium for this one?
No, not even. Maybe the first. I don't even know if we could fill up the first two rows. It's a long way to travel for both of those fan bases. My money's on SUU. I think they have similar talent, but SUU would have more to play for, as from like a program standpoint. So SUU is who I would bet. In the game versus UMass.
All right, question 9, over under. Tosh, you did it! Taysom!
He got it.
Woo!
That's true.
300 yards, he made it! Oh!
His name will not be in the record books for that streak ending.
Now he's just tied with Jake Heaps. He's looking to join Riley Nelson this next game. Two games of over 300 yards. Is he going to get there? Over under 300 yards for Taysom Hill.
Under. I don't think he plays as many snaps.
All right.
I actually think that
it's not by virtue of his inability.
I don't think he has a worse game. I think he has a comparable passing game. But I think we actually start putting guys in earlier than we did last game.
All right. Well, congratulations to Taysom Hill. I'm proud of you. He did a fantastic job getting to 300 yards. And he threw the football against Southern Utah in a way that I had hoped to see at several other points in this season. So, congratulations. Excellent game last Saturday to Mr. Taysom Hill. Question 10. Tosh, what will the Sunday morning headline be?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to raise some eyebrows because it's not crazy sensitive, but it's going to be "You Massacre."
Whoa!
BYU rolls the Minutemen.
Whoa!
And I'm thinking, geez, you could have been a little nicer, but
yeah,
that's what it's going to say.
Wow. That's Dick Harmon. He's ruthless.
Yeah.
He is just
We've known that for years.
he is a tough cookie. All right, Tosh, do you want to give your game and score predictions? And why don't you give me one thing that you are most excited to see in this game?
I am most excited to see I think the same players that kind of jumped out last game, can they do it again? KJ Hall, I'm excited to see him. He got my attention.
Sure.
He turned out to be what we all thought Dye is going to be, and still might be. It looks like they're redshirting Dye.
Mm-hmm.
But who would have guessed we'd have two shifty, fast running backs under 5 foot on the same team?
Under 5'10".
And so...
Oh, sorry, under 5 foot. I'm sorry, I missed your joke. I apologize.
It's all good. I like the delayed joke recognitions. And so I'm excited to see him. I'm also... It was fun to see Tanner out there. I think that he looks athletic. It's... You can't... I'm not... You can't gain much against bad teams, but I'm fully willing to admit that at this point, I still like watching this year's team, but I'm already thinking ahead to next year. And so I have fun watching Tanner and watching him develop and watching him put touch on passes and thinking it's going... I'm thinking, you know, hey, this is going to be fun to watch this guy play against LSU next year. This game is going to be BYU's all the way. I think we have a more consistent first half, second half score. And so we win 51-13.
13? You like them for 13 points?
Yeah, I mean, when you put the second string guys in there,
okay,
points can happen.
52 is hard to get to, so no matter what. So that would be a successful day, to be sure. Thing I'm most excited about, Tosh, you know what we haven't seen this year? Undisciplined Tejon Karoma.
We have not, yeah.
Has he had any personal fouls this year,
Tosh? He's not been mentioned for a bad snap or any sort of, like, crazy punches. I don't know if it's the same. Like, his Arizona thing, maybe, I think he was going and just meditating and he was at some anger management camp the whole time. And he came back a whole new man.
He's a whole new man. A whole new man. He's pretty good center, Tosh. I'm looking for Tejon to get uncorked a little bit against
the other independent.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen, yeah.
It's tough not to.
It's tough not to. You're right. So that's what I'm looking for this week. I'm looking for Tejon to get a little uncorked against UMass. I think that it'll be similar as to the week before. I'm with you. We got a few more field goals down the stretch. Those will turn into touchdowns. So I do see us scoring a few more touchdowns. And so I do think that you'll see BYU be just fine in this one, and we'll give it to them 42-7. And that will be the result of Saturday's game against the Minutemen. So we appreciate all of you listening to the show. Hopefully you have found it enjoyable and that you will listen to us again. Tell your friends about the show. Give us a review on iTunes and follow us on Twitter. Look for us on Vanquish the Foe. Tosh is at Lehigh Roller on Twitter. You've been more active, Tosh.
I went like 2 years of zero tweets, and I've done two in the last 2 days.
Look
I think
at that, man.
I'm officially back on Twitter.
He's doing his thing, you know. Maybe he didn't realize the power that being an active Twitter guy.
It actually, true story, it's because I read an article that the author was just saying things blatantly wrong. And my only recourse to tell this author, hey, your facts are, like, wrong, was to send him a tweet. And so once I figured out my sign-in again, and so I thought, maybe I should start tweeting a little bit. So I am officially a Twitter man.
So he came back into Twitter to be a troll.
Yes.
He's a Twitter troll, everybody. Congratulations,
in full
Tosh.
Force.
Welcome back. I'm glad you're here. It's beautiful. All right, buddy. That's it for this week's Cougar Cast. We hope you've enjoyed it. We are actually going to be away. We're going to not have a show next week for Utah State. I am out of town, and Tosh says that the people don't need a podcast.
Well, I think the people like it, but the people don't want me solo. So if there's a huge demand on Twitter, if my Twitter followers shoot through
okay.
the roof.
All right. That's the challenge. That's the challenge. If he gets, 50 new followers. So
yep.
At Lehigh Roller. And you don't have to do it alone, Tosh.
No, I'll find
a
guest host.
Yeah, grab somebody. You know, it could be
my neighbor Lavelle.
Yeah, that's right. He is
50 followers.
That would be amazing.
I shouldn't overpromise this too much without asking the guy. So,
all right. Well, thank you. Thank you. It's at Lehigh Roller. Now, spell the Lehigh. It's like the university.
Lehigh Roller. Or they can search Tosh McIntosh, and so there's not many of us on there.
No, it probably is not. So, all right. Thanks again for listening, and go Cougars.
Thank you for listening to Cougar Cast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!